Good morning.
On this feast of the Holy Family, we continue our meditation on what the Incarnation means, what it means that Jesus really became one of us, really shares in our humanity. When we think about family, frequently we go in precisely the wrong direction. We start trying to define the family. As soon as you start defining it, you're deciding what is a family, what is not a family, who can be a family, who cannot be a family. Even the church does that. It's ridiculous, but we do it. You get this big hoopla now among the American bishops about gay marriage. As though, you know, that cannot be a family. We will fight against that to the death. Nonsense. Either it is or it isn't. Legislating on it isn't going to change whether or not two people are in love. The government is the same way, only more so. If we had an angel appearing in a dream tonight, he would say, Jose, take your wife Maria and her son Jesus and flee. For ICE is seeking after him to deport him. This one was born in this country. He could stay. That one was not born in this country. They have to go. We break up families. Tell families they have no right to be families because they don't fit into our nice, convenient laws. An effort to define the family, whether it's by the church or by the state, or by our own accord, is nonsense. You can't define your family away. They are who they are. You got what you got. And for most of us, that's a mixed bag. Because we're human beings, all of us, and we're messy. And somebody in your family is a little bit crazy. And somebody is a little bit nasty. And somebody can't hold a job, and somebody has a drug problem, and somebody makes too much money and is too proud of it, and somebody can't hold a job and always wants to borrow off of you, and so on and so on and so on. And we love to write some of those folks out of our family. But you can't do it. The way to create a holy family is not by redefinition, but by reconstitution. You can't write folks out of the family. That's good. Because otherwise, there'd be a lot of people tempted to write you and me out of the family, too, you know. You take the family you've got, and you learn how to make it a holy family. Whether it's large and spread out, or only a few. Whatever the situation. You take the family you've got, and you build from there. The first two readings tell us about that. Tell us about how to do that. There's that relationship between parents and children where they devote their lives to each other. Parents not only stay up at 4 o'clock in the morning when the baby won't sleep, they worry about the child. They worry, really worry about the teenager. Sometimes they go on worrying well into adulthood, providing, helping, guiding, trying to shape. Kids, in turn, put up with parents. Parents are the ultimate definition of the non-cool, But you got to live with them. And you take care of them. And you support them. You support them even when their minds fail, as they put it so delicately in the reading. It goes on from there. Listen to Colossians. What should our families be like? First of all, they should be characterized by love. Love is the thing that wraps around everything and holds it together. That we put the interest of everybody else in our family ahead of our own, instead of vice versa. Instead of each seeking their own best interest and climbing over everybody else in the process. What else do they talk about? They talk about patience. There's a lot of room for patience in families. Living together, close quarters, all the time, yeah, we get on each other's nerves. Even the ones we only get together with Christmas and Easter and birthdays. We can find ways to get on our nerves pretty quickly. And we, I'm sure, on theirs. Be patient with each other. Put up with each other. A lot of life is defined as putting up with. If you put up with other people, you have some reason to hope that they might put up with you. And the other side of that is forgiveness, because patience doesn't always work. And we're not in families very long before we've hurt each other, sometimes fairly deeply. And you can cherish those hurts and build animosities on them and build separations on them and divide families into fractions over all those hurts. And this was allied against this one, against that one, except that now that goes on. Or you can forgive them. Let them go. Put them away. I mean, you have to hold it out there and look at it long enough to see what it is. But then forgive it. And let it go. Put it down. It's too heavy a burden to carry. And compassion. Compassion. To feel with. As Paul says, to laugh with those who laugh and weep with those who weep. To share the joys and the burdens, the hopes and the fears of other members of our family. All of them. The ones we're inclined to like and the ones that sort of drive us crazy. All of them. Carry their burdens. Share in their triumphs. Rejoice with them when they rejoice. Weep with them when they weep. That's how family gets to be holy. We don't do it by definition or redefinition. We do it by taking the families we've got and building from there. Being a refugee family in Egypt was probably no great shakes either. But that's the way Matthew describes the Holy Family. They took what they had and they built on it. We're asked to do the same. Don't redefine it. Don't criticize. Utilize. Take the family you've got. Take the gospel we're given and learn how to make your holy family. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.